passage of scripture that we will read is Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, and we'll be reading verses 13 through 20. So Matthew 16, verses 13 through 20. We'll be making reference to this passage this morning as well when we look at Lord's Day 12. So Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock," and I hope you understand when Christ says rock there, he's not referring to Peter himself. That's the error, of course, that Roman Catholicism makes with this verse. But he's referring to the rock of Peter's confession. Upon the confession that Peter made, that Jesus was the Christ, verse 16. That's the rock on which Christ builds his church. He doesn't build his church on Peter, but he builds it on the truth that Peter confessed, that Christ, that Jesus is the Christ. So verse 18, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Now, on the basis of that portion of God's Word, and also the whole of Scripture, that we have instruction given us in Lord's Day 12 of the Heidelberg Catechism concerning Christ. So let's look at Lord's Day 12, found on page 8 in the back of the Psalter, page 8, and we'll read questions and answers 31 and 32. Lord's Day 12, questions and answers 31 and 32. Question 31, why is he called Christ, that is, anointed? Because he is ordained of God the Father and anointed with the Holy Ghost to be our chief prophet and teacher, who has fully revealed to us the secret counsel and will of God concerning our redemption, and to be our only high priest, who by the one sacrifice of his body hath redeemed us and makes continual intercession with the Father for us, and also to be our eternal King, who governs us by his word and spirit, and who defends and preserves us in the enjoyment of that salvation he has purchased for us. And then question 32, where the word of God is summarized in the Heidelberg Catechism, makes a direct application to us, to our lives, of what we confess concerning Christ. Why art thou called a Christian? And the answer, because I am a member of Christ by faith, and thus am partaker of his anointing, that so I may confess his name and present myself a living sacrifice of thankfulness to him, and also that with a free and good conscience I may fight against sin and Satan in this life, and afterward reign with him eternally over all creatures. We're going to consider together this morning just the first question and answer. Why is he called Christ, that is, anointed? making my sermon on this Lord's Day this week. It was my original plan to preach one sermon on this Lord's Day, and started work on that. In fact, put a lot of work into one sermon, but then realized yesterday that there was way too much material to cover in one sermon. We might be here till 1 p.m. I mean, to cover all that material. So I decided to split this Lord's Day up into two sermons, so that today we consider that part of the Lord's Day that tells us about Christ, and next time, Lord willing, we can look and spend some more time looking at that part of this Lord's Day that talks about us as Christians, using Christ's name. Christ is His name, and He says you may so use that name for yourself by calling yourself Christians. Christ is in that name that we use. And that's a very important truth too, because question and answer 32, the second part of this Lord's Day, sits before us an important place that every one of us here has in the church. And that is the place that we all have in the church, in the office of believer. We know, of course, as we even heard already this morning, that there are three special offices in the church. There are ministers who represent Christ as a prophet. There are elders who represent Christ as king, Anharim. And there are deacons who represent Christ as priest, sacerdote, or Harim. And those are the special offices. But every member of the congregation occupies the important office of believer. And that's what we'll be able to look at next time. So in this Lord's Day, we look at, in question and answer 31, Isa Samana Pangala Naatin, our Savior. So, another name of our Savior, Ang Pangalan Kristo. The name which tells us who He is and which tells us what He does. Jesus, we looked at last time, is His personal name. He tells us that He is the Savior. Matthew 1 verse 21, thou shalt call His name Jesus. Why? Bakit? He shall save His people from their sins. That's what the name Jesus means. But now we look at the name Christ, Christo. This is His official name. You could even say this is His title. Jesus is the Christ. That's what Peter confessed in Matthew chapter 16, verse 16. That's what's stated as well in Matthew chapter 16, verse 20. Not just Jesus Christ, but Jesus the Christ. That's His title. Just like people have titles today. The man who rules this country has a title. He's called President. Ministers have titles. They are called Pastor or Reverend. So this is Christ's title. Jesus the Christ. It's crucial, as we saw as well from Matthew chapter 16, that we believe and we confess this concerning Him. Tinituro ng Mateo 16 na mahalaga para sa kinawalaan at ipahayag na si Jesus ay ang Kristo. Jesus, you'll notice in Matthew 16, asked the disciples dalawang tanong. And his two questions were these. First of all, this question. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Who do people in general say I am? What are they in general saying about me? And so the disciples answered that question. Some say this, and some say that. Some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah, some say
one of the other prophets, so on and so on. And then Jesus had a second question. And his second question was a question that was far more important and was directed to the disciples themselves. And that was the question that he asked in verse 15. But whom say ye that I am? Who do you say I am? What do you think about me? What is your confession concerning my identity? Christ is not really all that concerned about what others are saying. He's asking his people. He's asking his disciples. He's asking his church. He's asking you and me, who do we say that he is? Peter's answer was, in verse 16, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Peter, as Christ says to him in verse 17, is blessed. Blessed by Christ himself as one who makes that confession. And that's something that you and I may be assured of and confident of as well, that the Lord's blessing rests upon us too as we confess Jesus is the Christ. And we'll see this morning what that means, what it means for us to make that confession. So let's look at this Lord's Day, consider it together, using the theme, Believing in Christ the Anointed. And there are four things that we're going to look at. First of all, briefly, what it means that he is the Anointed. Then secondly, what it means that he's our prophet. And then what it means that he's our priest. And then what it means that he is our king. Believing in Christ the Anointed. Una selahat ang literal na kahulugan ng pangalan Kristo ay hinahirap. An anointing has to do with the fact that someone is made an officer. And an officer is someone who holds an official position in this world and an official work to do by God. And of all the office bearers that are mentioned in the Bible, and all the office bearers that are present in the church today, hang on, this we know, they are either prophets, priests, or kings. That's what it means to be an office bearer, to be a prophet, to be a priest, or to be a king, as chosen by God to hold that office. And so we can say that anointing means two things. Ang isang pinahiran ay itinalaga ng Diyos, chosen, elected by God for office. So not just anyone can hold an office, not just anyone can be an office bearer, not just anyone can say, I want to be a minister, I want to be a deacon, I want to be an elder, and so I'm going to be that. And I'll make myself an office bearer in the Church of Christ. We cannot appoint ourselves to be office bearers, but we are chosen by God. That's true of the Church, from the viewpoint that God chooses office bearers through the Church, through the consistory's nomination, through the approval that is given to that by a congregation. That's God's choosing. That's what it means, first of all, to be an office bearer. And that's what the Catechism means when it says that Christ is ordained of God. That word points to being chosen, elected, set apart by God for office. Secondly, his son pinahiran ay ginawa ring marapat sa pamamagitan ng Diyos. That's what the Catechism means when it says that he is anointed with the Holy Ghost. Really, that points to a person being given the ability through the Holy Spirit to do the work of his office. The Old Testament, that was signified by oil. Remember, when David was anointed to be a king, when Elijah anointed Elisha to be a prophet after him, when Solomon was anointed to be king, when Jehoshaphat and Jehu and any of the kings were anointed to be kings, when Aaron and his sons were anointed to be priests, always there was some oil. And the oil was poured over their head. And Psalms 131 and 132 speak of that. The oil poured upon the head that flowed down onto the garments. That oil is a picture, a symbol in the scriptures of the Holy Spirit. So that when a person was chosen by God to be an office bearer, secondly, he was anointed with the Holy Spirit so that that gave him the abilities, the gifts he needed to do the work of his office. All of that was true and is true of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is anointed. That means he is chosen by God. And secondly, that he is anointed by God with the Spirit, given the ability to do his work. Chosen by God. Look at Isaiah 42 verse 1. Points of Christ being chosen. Isaiah 42 verse 1. Isaiah 42 verse 1, where the Word of God says this: Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my Spirit upon him, he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Well, obviously that verse is talking about Jesus Christ. And you notice both things are mentioned about him there. He is the one whom God has chosen, mine elect, and he is the one whom God has anointed with the Spirit. I have put my Spirit upon him. Christ is the one who is given through that the calling and the ability to do the work of being God's office bearer, to be a prophet, a priest, and a king. So that brings us to point number two. Si Christo ang ating punong propeta. The Catechism mentions he is our chief prophet and teacher who has fully revealed to us the secret counsel and will of God concerning our redemption. What is a prophet? What does a prophet do? Ang isang propeta ay hindi isang nagsasalita lamang tungkol sa hinaharap. Not all prophets even did that. Some of them did. They told the future, but telling the future was just really a small part of their work. And that's because their main work was something else. What is a prophet? A prophet is someone who speaks salita nun jos. Speaks the word of God. That's what a prophet's work is. That's what a prophet's work is in a minister. A minister doesn't tell the future. There's no minister of the word today that has that ability. There are some, of course, who think they have that ability, and you think of such heretics as a man like Harold Camping, perhaps heard of him, who's predicting when the end of the world is coming. It's predicted that the world is going to end in May of 2011. This is his third prediction. His other two were wrong. And now he thinks he can still continue to predict the future when the Word of God says, of that day and of that hour knoweth no man, not even the Son of Man, namely not even the Lord Jesus Christ as a man on this earth, knew the day of his return. He knows it as God, not as a man. Some think they can predict, but they cannot. The work of a prophet, the work of a minister as a prophet, is to speak the word of God, to make God known to his people through the spoken word. Well, that's the work of the Lord Jesus Christ as our prophet. What a blessing it is to have Christ to do that work. Ginawa diyan ni Kristo sa kanyang buong makalupang buhay sa pamamagitan, his speaking, preaching that he did during his earthly life, his actions, his works, his deeds, his miracles as well, how he lived, everything about Christ during his earthly life was part of his work as prophet, revealing God. But also this, ginagawa pa rin yan ni Kristo ngayon. He does that today. He does that today through the scriptures, the Bible. He does that through the preaching of the Word of God. He does that through the sacraments. Also through them, Christ speaks to his people and reveals God to us and God's grace and God's work. He also does that through the church's work of discipline, as that work is done by the elders, because the elders bring Christ's word to his people. He does that through the work of deacons, because the deacons bring Christ's word to the people of God in their needs and in their sorrow. As even our confessions state, they bring comforting words from the scriptures to the people of God. All of those things are ways in which Christ, from day on, is still doing the work of a prophet. What does he do? What does he show us? What does he reveal to us? Heidelberg tells us that bilang propeta inihahayag ni Kristo sa atin ang payo at kalooban hinggil sa pagkatubo sa atin ng Diyos. So he lets us know God's plan. He reveals to us God's purpose. Reveals to us God's counsel. It would be hidden from us if Christ did not make that known. We would not know what God planned. We would not know what God's purpose is in everything that happens. We would not know that we were sinners who need Jesus Christ as our Savior. We would not know that we can find comfort only in the Lord Jesus Christ, who laid down his life to save us. We would know none of those things if Christ did not, as our chief prophet and teacher, reveal to us the counsel of God concerning our salvation, our redemption. And really, when he does that, inahahayag niya ang kanyang sarili sa atin, makes himself known to us. And then, in addition to that, he reveals to us everything that else that we need to know concerning our salvation. We need to know that we're sinners. Christ makes that known to us through his word and through the preaching of his word. We need to know that Christ is the one who saves us from our sins. We need to know that we are to believe in him, and in believing and through believing to receive his righteousness and hope and joy and peace. Christ reveals that to us. We need to know as well that whatever God does in this life, he does for our good. We wouldn't know that except that Christ is our prophet, our teacher, who reveals those things to us. What a blessing it is to have Christ as our chief prophet and teacher. Without that, everything would remain hidden. We wouldn't have the Bible. We wouldn't have the Word of God to guide us. We wouldn't have preaching on God's Word to teach us and to lead us. We wouldn't have a Word that is applied to our hearts ang mga puso natin by the Spirit. We wouldn't have any of that without Christ as our chief prophet and teacher. So then, as far as Christ's work is concerned, secondly, si Kristo ay ang ating tangin punong hari. As the Catechism tells us, he is our only high priest who by the one sacrifice of his body has redeemed us and makes continual intercession with the Father for us. In the past, si Christo e mai ginawa para sa atin sa nakaraan ilang atin punong pari. And that was when he died on the cross. He offered himself on the cross to God. He sacrificed himself. He went to the cross. He submitted himself to the wrath of God that you and I deserve because of our sin. And he did on the cross what we could never do. He went to hell and he survived hell. And he came back from the torments of hell having paid the price in full for our eternal life. And Jesus Christ has done that as our great high priest. So, Bhagavad-gita nam sacrificium yan valam hangan linis nya ang isang marumin banikayan at ginawa tayong banal. Separated from sin now and devoted to God, holy, pleasing, and acceptable to God because Jesus Christ, God's Son, went to the cross, went to hell, and has made a filthy, unholy, guilty, damned people clean and holy in the sight of God. So he has made our salvation a reality. He has made it certain. It's true. The goal is a fact. Jesus Christ has done that work. That work is finished. Christ said, "It is finished. It is finished." There's nothing more that needs to be done. Nothing that needs to be added. Nothing that can be added by us. Jesus Christ has done it all by his death on the cross. Si Kristo ay mai ginagawa parin ilang ating pari. Patuloy siyang mamamagitan para sa atin sa Ama. It's a wonder and a wonderful blessing for us. Jesus Christ prays for us. He is in the presence of God. He is in heaven. He is enthroned in glory. He sits at the right hand of God his Father. And what is he doing? There, nananalangin siya para sa atin. What a blessing. Sa tuwing tayo ay nagkakasala. And he says, "Father, forgive them. Forgive them, Father. I lay down my life so that they might have forgiveness now and forever. Forgive them. Look at me, Father. Look at what I have done for these people that sit. And don't look at them. Don't treat them as they deserve to be treated. But forgive their sin." He prays that to the Father. Sa tuwing tayo ay nananalangin, he says, "Father, hear them. Hear them for my sake. Hear their prayers. Give them access to thy throne of grace through me, thy Son, to whom they belong." He prays for us when we pray. Sa tuwing tayo ay nanalungko, he prays, "Father, comfort them. Comfort them by their Spirit. Comfort them with the assurance that whatever they face and whatever they experience in this life, it's not an accident. It's not now that they have these things in their life because the devil has the upper hand, but assure them that all things are done in thy wisdom, and all things are done for their good. Everything is good, Mahoti, for the people of God. Christ prays the Father to give us that assurance and that comfort. Kaelan and Natin and Tor. We do. Madalas na nakaka lipta natin ang manalangin. Perhaps we pray sometimes when there's a special need that we have. Things are going bad in our life and we're reminded we need to turn to God in prayer. But otherwise, sometimes there are big gaps between our prayers. And if not big gaps between our prayers, big gaps between those prayers that are sincere. Big gaps between prayers that come from our heart. We're in the midst of a trial, we're in the midst of a difficulty, then our prayers come from our heart. They're not just words, but so often they are just words. We need Christ to be praying for us when we fail to pray to God. But often, malam saisai am atin panalan lani. Earthly minded, we often are. We pray for all kinds of earthly things. Give me earthly success. Give me earthly pleasure. Give me this thing that I want in life. Give me that thing I want in life. Praying for all these earthly things, but we don't pray for spiritual things. We don't pray for forgiveness. We don't pray for grace. We don't pray for wisdom. We don't pray for a good understanding of the Word of God. We don't pray that we might grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just earthly things. Then Jesus Christ prays for us and prays to the Father and says, Father, don't hear those prayers that are so earthly, so centered upon the things of the world, but hear this prayer, Father. Give to them spiritual things. Give to them thy spirit. Give to them grace. Give to them wisdom. Give to them hope. Give to them comfort. Give to them peace. Give them forgiveness. Those are the things my people need. And Christ's prayer to the Father is heard by him. When we fail to ask for those things, Christ, as our priest, prays to God for us. Then thirdly, we can say this. Sometimes, mahirapsa atin am manalangin. I'm sure you have that. Difficult to pray. Mahirap. Difficult because we're so focused on earthly things. Difficult because we're so busy. Abalam, abalam. Difficult because we're facing a struggle in life and we can't think of the words to say when we pray to God. But in all those instances, prayer still always goes to God from Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ, for us. What a blessing it is that Jesus Christ is our only high priest. Romans 8, verse 34 speaks of that. He continues always to make intercession for us, to pray for us. Romans 8, verse 34. There the scriptures say, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us, who also prays for us. Christ does that work, continues to do it for us as our priest. And then finally, that brings us to the last aspect of the fact that Christ is the anointed.
Si Cristo è un ating walang hanggang hari.
He is our eternal King who governs us by His Word and Spirit, and who also defends and preserves us in the enjoyment of that salvation that He has purchased for us.
He's our King. He rules us, first of all. He governs us. And Sha a san la'ol na ama mahala.
He rules an ating mga puso.
Luke 17, verse 21.
The Pharisees and the Sadducees come to the Lord Jesus Christ with questions, always doing that and trying to trap him. And they had a question for him in Luke 17, verse 20. He was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come. And he answered them, verse 20, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, not by looking. You're not going to see the kingdom of God coming with earthly eyes. That's not how we observe God's kingdom coming. Really, there too, remember, as an aside now, is the answer to every church and person who speaks of Christ's kingdom being an earthly kingdom. The dispensationalists, the premillennialists, the postmillennialists, who all say the kingdom is going to be an earthly one. No, the kingdom does not come by observation. Because where is the kingdom? Verse 21, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Inside us. That's where God's kingdom is. That's where Christ rules as our Anhari, our King. And He does that by His Word, and He does that by His Holy Spirit. That's what He uses to rule us. Just think of that, beloved. Why do you listen to the Lord Jesus Christ and do what He says? You do that because you have a natural desire and a natural inclination to be obedient to God? No, indeed. But you do it only because He directs you as King. He rules you within, Tala'ol, by His Holy Spirit, so that you do His will. Why do you love God? Why do you love your neighbor? Is it because you have a natural love for anyone and everyone? And even a natural love for God? No, no one has that. You do it because He first loved you. And His love causes you to love Him. Why do you come to church? Why did you come to church today? Okay. Is it because you have a natural desire to be in church? No. Your natural desire today is to be out there. All kinds of things that you want to be doing instead of being in church. If you're not a child of God and not saved, and not one whom He has already worked in to give you that desire, we're here because He gives us that desire. He's our King. That's why we confess Jesus Christ is my Savior and my Lord. He rules me. Rules me with it. I never do anything right or anything good of myself. It's always only because my King lives within me and rules in my heart. That's why we do the will of God. And there's something that we must know about His work as King, and that is His rule over us and in us is what we call Isang Mabibiyang Hamamahala. It's a rule of grace. Christ does not work in His people in such a way that He takes a hold of them by the scruff of the neck and He shakes them to pieces and says, I'm going to make you do what I want you to do. That's not how He works in His people. but he makes us willing. Psalm 110, he makes us willing in the day of his power. He works in us in such a way that we willingly submit. We willingly obey. That is to say, we want to. We want to obey Christ. We want to submit to him. That's because of his work, his rule of grace in our hearts and in our lives. So we gladly submit to and obey our Lord Jesus Christ. But one more thing. Elamatin hari kanyarin. Defend and preserve the people of God in their salvation. That's what he also does. He defends us. He fights for us as our king. He fights for us against our enemies. He fights against Satan, the devil. He fights against all who would try to snatch us away from the Lord Jesus Christ and from God. He fights for us against the wicked world. He fights for us even against our own sinful flesh, which would lead us astray. We cannot fight. We cannot protect ourselves. We cannot defend ourselves from all these enemies. Jesus Christ is the one who must protect us and preserve us in our salvation. Walang sinuman ang makaagawa sa atin mula sa kanya. That doesn't mean that we never sin. We do sin. And nor does it mean that if we sin, Jesus has stopped protecting, stopped defending us. It doesn't mean that either. We sin daily, but our King rules in such a way that he makes that serve our good, and also this, he lifts us up again out of our sin. He enlightens us, he works repentance, he works forgiveness, he restores us again to the favor of God. And so even though we sin, we will never lose our salvation. Those who are chosen by God, given to Christ in the decree of election, are the ones that he will preserve all the way to the end. Nothing can take us away from Christ. What a blessing it is that he is also our King. So that's the truth concerning Christ the Anointed. We see what it means for us that he is our prophet, he is our priest, and he is our Hari, our King. And we see how much we need him and how blessed we are to say and to confess as we do in Lord's Day 1. And that's the theme, Lord's Day 1, that carries through all the Lord's Days. I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Belong to him in life and death, belong to him in time and eternity. There is comfort in knowing Christ, the Anointed, to whom we belong. Amen. Let us pray. Our God and our Father in heaven, may thy word comfort us in this day, leading us to be all the more thankful to thee for thy goodness to us, thankful for our Savior, thankful for our salvation, thankful for peace in our hearts, and thankful for the blessings of eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.